Prepare to be blown away by Ben and Ralph. Darmalars begins in T-minus 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. The Darmalars podcast begins now.
From one dog to another, it's the Darmalars podcast. Sounds good?
Yeah. How's it going, guys?
It's going good, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm not guys. I'm me. I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph.
And this is
the Darmalars podcast. Jinx. Whatever. So, yeah.
Here we are.
Just the two of us again.
I really wanted... no engineer. I really wanted this week to have our podcast after this episode be half an hour of crickets. Like, we could think of nothing to say. We were too blown away by the episode. But then I thought everyone would get mad at us.
I might play a half hour of crickets after the episode.
But we'll get into that later. How was your week?
Does it seem like we haven't recorded in, like, a month?
No.
Oh. It seems like it's been a while since we recorded.
You must have just had such a relaxing week compared to previously that...
I don't know what it is.
Hmm.
I know Stevie called in to work on Tuesday, so maybe that felt like second weekend.
That made your week just drag.
No, it just seems like it's been a while. Like, I'm like, God, when was the last time we posted an episode?
And yeah, last week. I'm starting to get to the point where it's like, God, we've done a lot of episodes.
We have done a lot of episodes. And apparently we're hot.
Yeah, we're what's hot.
Ah, that's crazy.
I'm what's hot right now. This Southern California heat wave is intense.
Yeah, but we have the air on today.
I know, but I just moved, and I'm a fat guy, so it's going to take me a while to catch up to the air conditioning.
Wow. it's strange. This week, for some reason, our numbers doubled.
That's cool, right?
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's probably all that heat from the what's hot.
I guess so. I have no idea.
So if you're new, I'm Ben, and I'm the handsome one.
And I'm Ralph, and I'm the more handsome one.
And I'm Ralph, and I'm not a liar.
I think I approved something like 40 friend requests this week, and then did not approve one.
Oh.
That's what I didn't approve.
It felt like spam. Was it a sleuth?
It felt like spam. So yeah. If you didn't get approved this week, send us another one, and we'll know you're not spam.
That's right. It's weird how, like, somehow you let one through the gates, and all of a sudden you get, like, 20 friend requests from obvious spam accounts.
Yeah.
I had one of those on my personal account, and I was like, who was the culprit? And I never...
Did you find out?
I just deleted, like, the last five people I added, like, that I didn't recognize. It's like, sorry, folks, you're out.
And if you are a listener of the show, and you got it deleted this week, then... Send another friend request and a personal message to say, I listen to your show and I'm not spam.
And I'm not spam. I'm not spam.com.
What else? God. Yeah, it's just weird. Like a lot of, I just been checking the numbers this week and we're like number 46 on TV and film, which is our highest.
Ever.
I guess, lowest number. Closest to number one we've been yet.
Right.
Well,
all right.
Which is crazy because I think the lowest we got was to like 62,
right.
And then we were gone.
And then we were off the
and then
charts.
This week, I mean, it must be the hot thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know because I've never really looked at that stuff until I had a show. It never really was important to me, but apparently.
How are we stacking up against Degrassi?
I don't know. I didn't even look.
Damn you, Degrassi.
We'll get them.
We'll get you out of here.
Other than that, writing.
I saw Commando, dude, for the first time in my damn life.
I went to your house after you saw Commando,
and you watched like the
and demanded
of.
It to be put back in,
yes.
And then quoted every single line.
I can't believe I waited 31 GD years to watch Commando. I guess I waited less than that because it wasn't made 31
years.
Came
in like 85, or
yeah.
Something like
but.
That. That's 27 years.
Stuff slips through the cracks, and sometimes it's forgivable. Like, I didn't see Godfather until a couple years back.
I still haven't seen Godfather.
So that's forgivable. But Commando?
Commando is unforgivable.
Unforgivable.
Have you seen Unforgivable?
No.
Oh.
Maybe I should go Commando and watch it.
I was thinking Unforgiven.
Excellent
movie.
It is.
Commando is a fucking great movie.
Yeah.
Come sta.
It's full of Arnold one-liners, which are, you know, just awesome.
Including come sta, which, having an Austrian, he's Austrian, right? Say
yeah.
come sta. Comes out to come sta. I saw, dude, Children of Men.
Yes.
On its way back to Netflix.
Finally.
See you later. I can't wait till Stevie puts you in her queue and we watch it together.
Because you never saw it.
I didn't watch it. I was like, this is ridiculous. So I sent it back and I watched, this week I watched Stander. I watched, which was an alright movie. It was alright. It's one of those based on a true stories where it's probably more interesting in real life than you showing it to me.
I saw your movie note about that.
I saw Four Rooms, which I had seen for the first time. I'll get to that in a second. And then the other movie I saw was Romancing the Stone, which is a movie I apparently haven't seen ever. I had thought I had seen it when I was a kid, but nothing was familiar to me.
That's funny.
And I didn't enjoy it.
That's not funny. That's too bad.
Whatever. I thought it was more of an adventure comedy, which I guess it's supposed to be.
It is supposed to be.
But I didn't really laugh at it.
Huh.
The only part I laughed at was the guy who plays El Guapo in The Three Amigos is driving a truck through the jungle, being chased by gunmen, and he's pointing out all the sights.
that
was fucking
funny.
Hilarious. But you would think that Kathleen Turner and Michael Douglas would be at each other's throats more, but they aren't. They're kind of okay with each other
throughout
the whole movie. Yeah,
they're a little too quickly
strange.
Convinced.
Two of the four rooms
are good.
Were enjoyable.
It's like
one of the four rooms was fucking awesome.
Okay.
The first two rooms were all right.
They were all right. The first one had boobs.
Quentin Tarantino's. I was kind of like, geez. Like any other Quentin Tarantino movie.
Right.
It's all set up for about 3 seconds of payoff, which
exactly.
are pretty damn good payoff.
It's killer. Yeah.
Like I was just sitting there, like, oh my god, here he goes. And he's going, and he's going. It's like, holy shit! And so it was pretty good. Robert Rodriguez is fucking brilliant.
That room is kick ass.
Robert Rodriguez is brilliant.
It's like a cartoon. It's like a live action cartoon.
I don't even know what it is. The kids in those in that section were fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I have to say that it wasn't what I expected.
Okay.
I had this feeling that each director directed one of the rooms, which is the case.
Right.
But that they each had a story arc over the full hour and a half.
Oh.
And that the Tim Roth character would go from room to room like a juggling act.
Yeah. Whereas
trying to satisfy everybody as opposed to four short films.
It was like four chapters, yeah.
A lot of you people that pay attention to the music on our show, I tend to use a lot of Combustible Edison for the
it seems like once a week.
For the You All Everybody segment. If it's not that, it's Ursula 1000. But any kind of low-key, retro, modern music, I put it at the end. But the music is done by Combustible Edison, which is a selling point for me, which you're probably wondering why I haven't seen it sooner. And I don't know.
It's kind of surprising.
You don't own it. None of our other friends would own it. I think if all of our friends, you'd be the one that would own it.
Probably, because especially back then, I was a huge Quentin Tarantino fan.
Yeah.
But I just...
And Combustible Edison.
And Combustible Edison. And I do have the soundtrack.
You have the soundtrack.
Yeah. And that was like one of the first CDs I bought, because it was, you know, back in like 94, 93. It was a while ago.
Was it 95?
95, was it?
Maybe. I'm not sure.
I didn't buy a lot of CDs for a while. That's for sure.
Yeah. But, yeah, I enjoyed. I mean, Robert Rodriguez is like easily becoming my favorite director.
That's cool. Are you ramping that up for his? Well, he's not directing.
He's not directing Madman.
But he's like behind the scenes.
He's producing it.
Fair enough. If he's your favorite director, then he can also be a very favored producer of yours.
Yes.
So that'll work.
It
sounds like you had a productive week. I think it's funny that you missed your window on Children of Men, and you're like, this thing is just holding up my queue. I've got to send it back and try again.
Yeah.
And that actually kind of makes sense in a way.
Yeah. I mean, if we really want to watch Children of Men,
you'd
we could have it. We could have it.
Yeah.
In a day.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's all kinds of things that I wasn't able to get in the past 30 days. So.
And it's tougher to get you and Stevie together both ready in the mood to watch Children of Men than it is to just pop in four rooms by yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. And I sent four room back the same day, and Stevie was upset. She's like, oh, I wanted to watch it.
Whoops. So, well, yeah. Put it in your queue then.
It's probably like $5 yeah. anywhere.
Yeah. I'll and if you pick. Consider it, it's like, that's like $1.25 per director. That's a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, $4 for whatever room.
For the Misbehaviors? Or
yes.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, there you go. I'd be perfectly fine with that.
That's cool. So we both had a positive experience in our movies this week.
Yeah. Commando.
Commando in four rooms.
Everything.
It does.
So anyway.
It's now my second favorite Arnold film, I think.
Followed by Predator.
Predator.
Which you... Which
I just recently saw, like a year and a half ago.
Man.
So up until I saw Predator, like a year and a half ago.
Terminator 2 was like probably
Terminator
the only
2 and True Lies were the top of the list.
Damn.
And True Lies is like,
you've seen Running Man.
Yes, and I okay. love Running Man.
We gotta watch Running Man.
Well, you're going to buy it, right?
I will buy it.
Okay.
I will buy it.
Yeah, it's funny because like True Lies being so high on my list, and then if you think about it, it's like post-Arnold. It's almost he's making fun of himself by that point. Yeah. And if I missed out on Predator and Commando, then you know what's my frame of reference?
Predator and True Lies
yeah.
are always my favorite Arnold movie while I'm watching either of them. While I'm sitting there watching fucking the most brilliant movie, which is True Lies,
it'll
say,
convince
this
you.
Is it. This is my favorite Arnold movie.
But if someone puts in Predator...
Right after? Predator is
after.
My favorite Arnold movie.
Even when you're high on True Lies, someone could put in Predator and you're like, fuck it.
If you did picture Predator. In picture, I would punch you.
You'd blow your mind.
I would punch you. No, this can't happen.
No.
So anyway, speaking
of blowing
of
your
predators
mind.
And blowing your mind and jungle scenarios, what do you say we talk about Hoobastank?
I'd like to. Yeah, I'd like to talk about Hoobastank.
All right, let's get into Lost.
All right. All right. This week on Lost.
Episode 3X.
20.
20.
Had to figure that one out.
The Man Behind the Curtain.
Which was an apt title, I think.
Yeah, I mean, they said it.
Yeah.
I kind of like the ones where they don't tell you why it's called that, where you can figure it out.
Well, yeah, as long as you can figure it out. But not like at the beginning of the season where we're like, who the hell is in two cities? I mean, that one made sense. But there was some at the beginning of the season where we were like, yeah. What are you talking about here?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, what did you think?
I liked it so much that I didn't watch it a second time or take notes.
I liked it so much that I'm glad I didn't say that The Brig was my favorite episode ever.
I actually will stick to The Brig.
Okay.
I
still have it on my TV and I'm going to watch it again because I wanted to watch it in full glorious HDF as opposed to tiny iPod. but that episode was kick-ass. Matt, my roommate, says it was the best episode. Matthew Clark of Fullerton, California, says that it's the best episode of Lost ever.
And he's a huge fan of like high-quality movies such as Ultraviolet, so he knows his shit.
Matt loves Ultraviolet.
You know, it's a really, really good episode.
Yeah.
There was a lot to process, but it was...
Never before have I gotten so many early reviews from across the country. Our friend, my friend in Dallas was texting me saying, I'm watching Lost in the Future and it's going to blow your mind.
I was relaying messages from Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Craig enjoyed it. It was crazy.
Everyone was all like, wait till this episode travels around the earth to get to you guys.
There was something about the ending that I felt could have been more punchy.
More punchy than shooting someone and leaving them for dead?
Yeah, I think it was the leaving them for dead part.
You wanted to see him actually dead?
I just wanted to see him get shot and fall on the thing, and that's it.
Okay.
We saw him moving too much.
None of that, what you say?
It should have been. It was, like, I don't know. There's just certain times when the thing where it says lost at the end, and you just, like, just right before, you just, like, you're about to say holy shit. I can't believe that just happened, but before you could say all that, it's over.
It's over.
But in this case, time, it was, holy shit, I can't believe that happened. oh my gosh, look it, he's in there still. So, yeah, it's a minor time. It's a minor thing. It's a me complaining about editing.
But you know, it's valid.
Yeah.
What did you have you been on the internet and seen all the people doing clips and videos of Jacob?
Yeah, well, Jeff caught it really quickly. Uh-huh. Like, and at commercial break we went back and looked at it, and we are not looking at it in HDF on our screen.
Right.
And it looked like Marv from Sin City to me.
Yeah, you said that on the Blogspot, I thought. Yeah. That's funny. I saw that there was a dude. Like, I didn't try to go over it too many times because it's too frustrating to try to pause it. And I don't have frame by frame or slow or anything. So I just watched it like once or twice. And I kind of don't want to analyze it and tear it apart because I feel like whoever was there was a placeholder until they reveal Jacob.
Yeah.
But I think it was clear that definitely there was somebody in that chair.
Yes.
Whether or not it was Locke tripping balls, I mean, because we know people on the island can see shit. Or whether there's actually Jacob there. There was definitely something there. And there was that one shot I told you about where it was like someone's eye.
Yeah.
And it was not the same eye color as Ben or Locke. It was some other different
eye
color.
And the shape of it wasn't theirs either. That whole scene was awesome.
Totally.
Did you think of Evil Dead? Because I totally thought of Evil Dead. Like, that's the whole time I was like...
Evil Dead 2, right?
No, Evil
Dead.
Where
everything's laughing at him?
Just Evil Dead with the crazy angles and... The Ben Ping pushed up against the wall.
And a cabin in the middle.
And the zooms and the rocking chair. Like, it was just Evil Dead.
You thought of Evil Dead a couple weeks ago, and What's-Her-Face got killed by a branch. Well, not killed, but punctured in the lung.
Yeah, punctured. And you thought of John Grease
that's
a couple weeks ago, and here he is.
I've been saving that. Like, I didn't want to tell you about that until we were on the air. Yeah, how crazy is that?
I mean...
It's random. I mean...
Yeah.
John Grease played Uncle Rico in Napoleon Dynamite, and I was just talking about him like 2 or 3 weeks ago because I rented Joysticks. I don't read spoilers. I don't look at casting news. I mean, maybe subconsciously I saw it somewhere, but I definitely wasn't consciously trying to lead anyone astray. Yeah. So when freaking John Grease showed up on the episode, I was like, holy crap, I was just talking about that dude. All my show about Lost, and now here he is on Lost. It's kind of random.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for Nick Chinlin to show up on Lost.
we called that like a year and a half ago.
When we saw Ultraviolet.
Yeah.
Clark's favorite movie.
Matt Clark's favorite movie, Ultraviolet. Nick Chinlin, for those of you that don't know, was in that excellent movie, Ultraviolet, but he was also in the Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah. Yeah.
He played like a bounty hunter that was coming after Riddick.
Yeah.
And this guy just has a face like he's destined to be on Lost.
He's got to be on Lost.
He's going to be there sooner or later.
If you look up Nick Chinlin on IMDb, look at all of his movies and tell me he's not going to be on Lost.
It's probably got like a blinking thing that says Lost, just waiting for it to go in. What did you think of Dr. Eiler and not aging? Just a casting choice?
Could it be like one of those,
a makeup choice?
Maybe it just didn't look like maybe they couldn't get him to look younger.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, was it a choice or was it, you know?
Yeah. They did slap on a required stupid wig for him to look younger. So assuming they're just trying to make him look younger. It just didn't work.
And it just didn't work as opposed to he could live forever or just not age in 20, 30 years.
Who knows? They usually save huge reveals like that.
Yeah.
For huge reveals. It seems
like a throwaway from...
Seems like we might be taking it a bit far.
Like if for them to just have it happen and not have no explanation to it wouldn't make much sense.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see him, and Ben called him a hostile, and he said, do you even know what that word means? That's cool because from the hostile's perspective, you know, this is our island, and you just showed up here. With your hippies.
Yeah. The thing that I don't understand with Ben is now the leader of...
Ostensibly, yeah. The de facto hostiles. Leader or something, yeah.
Yeah. And they all have taken over all the Dharma's belongings.
Right. Their buildings,
their clothes,
their stations.
Their food.
And they didn't know about the swan? Or they left
they
it
alone?
They
had to have known about the swan because Juliet and Ben were down there during that awesome episode.
They were in the Pearl, and they saw the swan.
Yeah. The thing that I don't understand is now that the hostiles are, you know, the Ben and them, are the hostiles have all the Dharma junk, why are they still dressing up and walking around the island?
Like natives.
Yeah. because they obviously have Dharma sending them spirit gum for their fake beards.
Or somebody, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's Dharma Initiative theatrical glue, so...
Oh, that's right.
What
is the
point? Yeah.
To impress newcomers like the 815ers?
I guess.
But what would they gain from that? It's not like they're trying to mingle with them.
Yeah.
Why did they have the phony village?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's that's one of those things that you have to put up there on that giant list of things that we don't know yet. But yeah. If you'd ask me to speculate, I'd say, well, there's a couple theories that people have said online. Like,
okay.
You know, apparently Jacob doesn't like too much technology.
So, apparently, according to Ben.
Yeah, according to Ben, who may be a total liar, as we found out this week. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's like in deference to that. Maybe it is just in case they run across a new newbie, because the island obviously attracts newbies.
Yeah.
And they want to like project this.
But why would they put their theatrical junk all the way over at
in the Pearl?
In
the staff.
In the staff.
When they're all the way over in the fake village on the other side of the island.
Yeah.
2 days march from there. I don't know.
It's weird. Is Mikhail a holdover from Dharma, like he said? Or is he posing?
I have no fucking clue. But he sure likes wearing that jumpsuit.
Yeah. And it's sure likes getting hit in the head by fucking Locke.
The jumpsuit doesn't have his name on it.
Huh.
But everyone else's did.
Everybody's?
Horace Goodspeed. Stanley Goodspeed's father. Roger Workman. Ben Workman.
Roger Linus,
yeah.
Yeah.
So everyone that, so far, anyone that we see with a jumpsuit has their name embroidered on the pocket, and Mikhail doesn't.
So it should say whatever Mikhail's first name is. Is that his first name?
I think, yeah, Mikhail's his first
name.
So
it should say Mikhail.
Mikhail
Communicator.
Communications or whatever.
Yeah.
Or he grabbed a spare because he never had one of his own.
Huh.
Maybe that's a theory I could throw out there.
Is it his glass eye that was in the arrow?
It's gotta be, right? Was it a right eye or a left eye? Do you remember?
No, I don't know.
I'm just kidding.
Depends on which pocket Libby put it in.
That's right. When she was buried with it.
What if during this raid on the beach, Mikhail goes and digs up Libby's grave, pulls out the glass eye, and it starts crying because he's so happy.
to see his eye again?
Yeah.
I think it'd be smarter to dig up Nikki and Paolo's grave and put the diamonds behind his eye like One Eye Willie. By the way, your Libby was looking pretty cute on Reigns a couple weeks back.
Oh yeah, I didn't watch it.
I know you didn't because you didn't come over. Okay, so Ben talks to Jacob.
Yes,
and Locke is not impressed.
And you know what? I was talking to someone on Halo 2. One of our listeners, Jake108. Was mentioning, or I mentioned that I thought it was strange that
that's Kyle X.
What's his that Ben seemed thrown off by the fact that Locke heard Jacob.
He did not expect that in the slightest.
Yeah,
and it angered him so much that he killed him.
It was all a show, right? Is that's what I'm led to believe?
Either
based
it was,
on his reaction,
what was all a show? Him talking to Jacob?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think what I'm led to believe is either Ben can't actually talk to Jacob,
uh-huh.
or he can, but no one else should be able to. And it's what gives him his position.
And so since Locke heard him,
then
Ben's like, holy shit, I can't have you telling people that you've talked to Jacob, because
exactly.
Once again, that will show that I am weaker.
It'll be too much. It's too much for him. And he can handle Locke manipulating him in front of everyone.
Uh-huh.
He can handle Locke beating up Mikhail. He can handle a lot of shit. But this particular thing would be a fucking blockbuster, and he has to nip it in the bud.
Which will be awesome when Locke shows up on the beach during the raid.
With his bullet wound healed and his pal Jacob in his hands. Come on, Jacob! Like, arm in arm.
I hope Jacob has a shitload of machine guns.
Como
esta?
All he's got to do is pick up all that... all he's got to do is pick up that gunpowder and just...
It was gunpowder, right?
I assume it was gunpowder.
It looked like gunpowder.
But wouldn't Locke... I mean, I'm positive Locke would know gunpowder.
But even though he's noticed all kinds of things without telling people about it.
Yeah, he doesn't say out loud, this is gunpowder. I think it is. Possibly gunpowder.
I assumed it was gunpowder.
No. But yeah, whether it's A or B, whether Ben can't hear Jacob, mm-hmm. and it's the Emperor's new clothes, or Ben can, but no one else can. Mm-hmm. Either way, someone else being able to hear him is too much of a threat. And that's why he shot him. That's why he capped him right in the gut.
Right in the gut.
Man. Is he dead, dude?
He's not dead.
Yeah,
I'm telling you, he's not dead.
When has anyone ever not died? Except for Mikhail. Mikhail has, that's true. Every time someone gets shot at the end of an episode, they're dead.
Libby didn't die.
She died the next episode.
It was like two episodes later? Was it 3 minutes?
She didn't get to say anything.
But still, she didn't have the... I mean...
She didn't get up again. She was mortally wounded.
But she also doesn't have the healing power of the Locke. Locke's not dead, dude. Locke's not dead.
You think
Locke's not... He's not dead. I'm telling you now.
The Locke is not dead?
He's not dead.
Why?
He's just not. I'm just telling you right now.
Producers?
He's not dead.
Or...
I'm just telling you he's not dead.
Okay.
You're just going to have to trust me on this one. He's not dead.
All right, dude. I'll follow you.
Go for it. I just don't see him dead. It's trust me. And if he's dead, that's a lame way for them to go out.
At the end of an episode.
Awkwardly sitting there, panting. So next week, he's going to be alive. I'm not saying that he's not going to die from it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying he did not die in this episode. He was shot in the gut, and he was sitting there breathing. He's not.
It takes a long time to die from your wounds.
How many people have died when no one else is around? Anna Lucia? But, I mean, Michael was there.
Michael was there.
But he's not just going to sit there and pant and then die.
The lady that
drowned.
There
needs to be someone there to cry about it.
That's true. No, that's Locke even dies. Worse. Think of how sad that is. He died.
No, they would have showed it.
He's just sitting there dead and nobody knows.
They would have showed it.
Okay.
They would have at least showed us his last breath.
Locke is alive then.
They would have showed us his last breath.
That's true. Okay. I'll buy it. I'm with you. Okay. Don't you fucking burn me because I'm with you on this one. What else happened in this episode? Young Ben looked a lot like another young Ben that I know. Freaking nerdy and awkward and bespectacled.
Me. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He looks like you when you're young?
Not facially, but...
Because the only pictures I've seen of you young is you trapped under a playground toy crying.
I was like three. I was like...
It doesn't mean that's not the only one I've seen of you.
That's true. But it was before this stage that I'm talking about. I was playing on like some rocking horse and it fell over. And the old man, good instincts, took a picture first before helping me up as far as...
You
the
gotta
photographic
post it.
Evidence shows.
Scan that picture and post
it. I'll put
it on
my MySpace or something. Yeah.
Put it on our MySpace too. So
okay, it's awesome. Oh, you know what I should scan is the picture we have of either of us as children watering in a diaper.
I'm pretty sure that's my picture.
I have one of me too, though. Is what I'm saying.
That should be our fucking main picture.
Okay, well,
I'll send them to me.
I'll scan a lot of pictures.
Scan them at your house sometime this weekend. I'll go to your house. I'll Photoshop them together, and we'll make a logo out of it.
That'll be our
hiatus.
That'll
be our summer. Yeah, that'll be our summer hiatus logo. Pissing on hiatus with the Lars.
You're pissing with the Lars. You're in for a treat. There's the part where he grabs the rabbit and pushes it through the fence.
Uh-huh.
And then picks it up again. Thanks, rabbit.
Fabbit. Did you think that were you looking for a number on that rabbit?
I kind of was, yeah.
I was kind of hoping there's a number. Like maybe it said 4. And now he's up to 8.
Yeah, because it took him that long to get through 4 rabbits. I just thought, even as a kid, that guy is kind of intense in terms of how he uses people and rabbits for his own purposes.
Uh-huh.
Like, for all he knew, the rabbit could have died. He's like, here you go, buddy.
Well, I mean,
but maybe
he's
that's
determined.
That's what it was destined for anyway. I don't think any rabbits were there on Dharma Initiative Island to be happy, funny little... play rabbits. I'm sure they were all there to get fucking scientifically tested on.
Yeah. Did you think it was strange that Samantha Mathis was on Lost, but for only one scene?
For like a split second?
Is that... I mean, she's not exactly...
She's not A-list.
Yeah, but...
It did seem kind of odd.
You think she would be the mom?
Yeah.
Unless they have something planned for her.
Well, I mean, if we see more island flashbacks, I mean, she's clearly maybe Horace's significant other or something.
I guess.
So she could maybe show up some more. I don't know what's scarier, the fact that it happens or the fact that it happens so much that you've got a name for it.
I'm not going to... You guys tell us what that's from.
Or don't. I don't fucking care. I know what it's from.
I know what it's from, too. But it's a game. It's a fun game.
It's a fun game.
So there's the volcano. Is that going to come into play?
God, I hope so. I hope the final episode is them all surfing away from a volcano, and Batman swoops down from the Batplane to save them.
Jesus, well, I don't even know what that's in reference to.
It's nothing. It's not a reference to anything. It's just the final
Batman
episode.
On the island?
Yeah. You asked for Superman a couple episodes ago.
I know. Superman.
Superman.
Green Lantern's my man, dude. He's going to show up on the island from the magic box.
Yeah, he's going to make a giant Cadillac, and they can all fly away in it.
Did I tell you that? Well, I mentioned this, that Walt's the magic box.
No, I don't know if I've heard that one. Walt's the magic box?
Yeah.
Because, like, if he wishes for a polar bear, it comes out of him.
Yeah. And if Ben needs the man from Tallahassee,
he comes right out of Walt.
Walt says, hey, you know, Locke doesn't like his, or Locke has problems with his father. You're his friend, and you have problems with your father. Locke would sure like to see his father.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
for the future.
That's for the future.
So let's get to the B storyline, huh?
Well,
there's all kinds of awesome stuff that happened in the camp.
Yes.
Sawyer hiding in bushes with a tape recorder.
And you know what I got to say about Sawyer is that I just realized as watching the brig again that Locke has now seen Sawyer's junk and Jack's junk, which puts him one up on Kate. Remember when Jack was taking a shower and Locke went
one
in there?
Up?
Yeah, one up. He went in there to shave. And then last week when Sawyer was taking a piss, he snuck up on him. So yeah,
it must be an annual tradition because that was on our first episode.
It was a while ago. Once a year,
Whose penis will John Locke see next year? Saeed, right? It's got to be Saeed.
Oh, no, I'm going to go with Jen.
Okay.
So okay, next April we'll see whose penis Locke sees.
All right.
And if Locke sees the penis, it's six more weeks of winter.
So if Naveen Andrews is listening, pretty much run out there and whip out your cock on the show in front of John Locke so
during
I could
a
win.
Take.
Yeah, so I could win. and tell the editors to leave the shot in.
That makes a lot more sense. I was trying to think of a way for him to erase every other take.
So please. Please make that happen, I guess.
I've never heard you.
Because I want to win this non-existent
We haven't even put any
made.
Money on it, but yeah. our honor's on the line.
Yes.
Okay, so I went off on a tangent. You were talking about the B storyline, Sawyer, and the tape recorder,
and Jack and Juliet, and son, and
it's so Jack was on their side the whole time. Apparently,
Jack is telling them what they want to hear.
You think so?
Yes. Well, that's what he's doing. I mean, obviously,
whether
they want to hear that,
whether he means it or not,
whether his it's one of those things where oh shit, I was caught.
But here, this was
I'm
my plan.
I'm
going to
say this, and then double cross you later.
He could still say,
"Hey, they're going to show up at midnight." But when they really show up at
like 10:30,
yeah.
For Jack to know about this plot and not tell anyone and try to come up with a plan on his own is very much in character.
Uh huh.
There's nothing that in there that Jack hasn't already done before. So.
Yes.
That, I think, speaks to him possibly still being a good guy.
We'll see.
You know, you're not thinking so much, huh? He's been gone too
long.
He was over there for 10 days.
I always want it to be more interesting than the easy way out.
And more interesting would be Jack turns on them.
Yeah.
Because Jack has been with us since the first second of the show.
Yes.
So for him to turn on the people that we identify with more, which is, you know, the 815ers.
Would be totally interesting.
Yeah. It'd be quite interesting. Richard Alpert in his hippie or pirate gear. See that shirt he was wearing?
It just looked like other gear.
It was just
tattered clothes.
And bare feet.
Yeah, I didn't look into it that much. People are saying maybe he was born, it was part of the crew of the Black Rock.
Of the Black Rock.
Which, you know.
Maybe not.
Goes with Black Rock being Captain Hook's ship. On Neverland, where you never grow old.
Yeah.
And he appeared to be the same age.
Do you think that the hostiles killed all the Dharma kids, like Annie and such? I guess Annie wouldn't have been a kid anymore.
I'm not sure. Did the hostiles recruit
Ben?
Ben. Kelvin.
Kelvin, yeah, because his timeline would be off if he was working for Dharma. His timeline would be way off. So they must be posing as Dharma.
Yeah.
And that's why they're still getting Dharma
food
drops.
The spirit gum is actually for when they're dressed as Dharma.
That's right.
Like when a helicopter comes by, they put on the hippie wigs.
And yeah, they dress as Dharma and stand on the couch. Dharma, get down from there. Nah, silly.
You're so free spirited.
You're so free spirit gum.
So who knows, dude? I don't know. We've been getting a lot of answers recently, so I'm not complaining about all the questions we're getting
with
also.
The mix. Yeah.
And all of this shit definitely feels like it's leading up to the final 50 episodes.
Which is what's left,
Lost,
huh?
Which is what's left. 50 episodes of Lost. We have two more this season, and then 48 after.
Another 48 episodes.
Yep. But this finale is ramping up to be fucking awesome. You have Locke coming back.
Yes. unexpectedly. Yes. We determined.
Unexpectedly. You have Jack knowing that the hostiles are coming. You know that the hostiles are coming.
Right.
And you know that Danielle has fucking dynamite.
Yes.
It's just all this stuff that they've planted the past couple of days, all the seeds they've planted.
Yeah. And it's all going to come together.
And Saeed was digging that hole last week, so
who knows why.
Maybe he made some kind of a trap.
And each episode has been getting progressively more and more awesome, amazingly awesome. And it's like, this is really, I think, ramping up to something big. Here's something that's funny. When you put it that way, I was thinking about 2 years ago at the end of the first season, they're in the same position waiting for the hostiles to attack.
Yeah.
So it's so little has changed.
Season one, they're waiting for the hostiles. Season two, some of them get taken by the hostiles. Now season three,
they're waiting for the hostiles to attack again.
The other guys are going to take the hostiles.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, that'd be a good switcheroo.
Maybe they'll move them all.
Take Tom.
To the village.
Yeah. It'd be interesting. Interesting to see. Next year, I hope to see, much as I love the A-team and the major characters, I'd like to see more flashbacks of different characters. Mm-hmm. And more on-island flashbacks like this episode.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Well, I think with them having an end date, I think we're really going to get into, it's going to be nothing but storyline.
It's going to be planned out. Yeah, it's like this is, and you know what's funny is when I saw the on G4 on the news ticker about how the seasons had been, you know, finished, how they had figured out how it was going to end, it said APC told the producers of Lost when their series will end. I was like, really? Like they made it seem like ABC was trying to cut it short.
Here's the thing. ABC wanted, from what I heard, 3 seasons. The writers only wanted like 50 episodes. So instead of doing a normal 225 episode seasons,
yeah,
they divided it into 3.
The stories so that they had.
ABC could still have another season of Lost, but the writers still get, it seems like a compromise.
Well, it's to me, like I thought at the beginning, it was like, they had a specific idea of how much story they wanted to tell.
Yeah.
And then ABC was like, you guys are getting a lot of ratings. You're going to stay on the air as long as we tell you to. Mm-hmm. And I felt like they were like, okay, now we have to, you know, try to stretch things out and backpedal. Is that not the case as you understand it?
No.
Okay.
Because we're getting the equivalent of 2 seasons.
No, you're talking about Lost, from this point on.
Yeah.
I'm talking about from the beginning.
Oh, from
like
the beginning?
At the beginning, they were like, let's do this story Lost that I came up with. And he's like, that's a great idea. That would take maybe you know, X amount of episodes. And then ABC says, stretch it out, guys. Stretch it out.
Damon and Carlton have always said they wanted 100 episodes.
Oh, well, then there you go.
How many are we up to? Fuck if I know.
70? Fuck if I know. It was 22 each season, right?
I don't know.
Let's say it was. So it'd be 66.
So they're going to get around there.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I guess... I have a different understanding of it. That's probably not true.
Yeah.
Because it's not like I read actual interviews with the producers or creators of Lost. I just get it like third hand from many filters.
Well, regardless, we have 50 episodes left.
50 episodes left. Start TikToking.
Yeah. Do you want to get into
the music of
negative 40?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I would definitely like to talk about next week on Lost. next week on Lost.
Episode 3X21.
Greatest hits.
Greatest hits. So anyway, it's a Charlie episode. We haven't gotten anyone this
week. It's not a Juliet episode.
let me think. No. No.
we haven't had a Charlie episode all season.
Some would be a greatest hits episode. I think that's where I'd put my greatest hits. So Charlie, we haven't yet had a Charlie episode this season at all.
Right.
At all.
And
are we
now,
saying goodbye to Charlie?
I hope not. You know, it's funny.
It's too obvious.
You were talking about last week about the whole idea of if someone's storyline ends, you know, that's it for them. I don't think Charlie's storyline has ended, but when Sawyer killed the real Sawyer, that sure ended Locke's storyline, if you think about it. It sure took care of his daddy issues.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen a similar thing happen for Charlie.
In season one, we just had this feeling that someone was going to die.
Yes.
And we didn't know if it was going to be Boone or Claire, who was pregnant at the time.
Yeah.
Like, there was this thing.
And it was like we knew that they were going to kill someone to show that they had it in them.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, Anna Lucia and Libby get shot. And
Boom.
It's like, okay, who's going to die? It's almost like they come in twos.
Yeah.
So Charlie is the obvious candidate.
And is there going to be another one?
And then Locke is already shot in the gut.
Okay.
So
two more.
Does someone have to die at the end of each season?
No, they don't have to.
I mean, that's what we've come to expect.
They don't
and
have
I'm wondering
to.
If the producers are using that to kind of amp up the tension.
Like, they can play on our expectations. They can get more suspense without actually having to do anything.
Like, we all know Charlie's supposed to die, and here comes Charlie's episode.
Well, that's I've said it before. That's good suspense, is when you know there's a bomb under the table and it doesn't go off.
Yeah.
So that's Charlie. I mean, Desmond's been telling us he's going to die for weeks and weeks now.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you're right. We have this expectation. Uh-oh, a Charlie episode. I hope they don't kill him.
Yeah.
So maybe they don't kill him.
Dude, it's one of those things we just have to find out.
It could go
and
either
next
way.
Next week, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's leading up to the finale, and you need everybody's emotions as high as they can be for the finale.
Yeah. And there is the dialogue from the trailer where Desmond says, "You have to die this time, Charlie."
Yeah.
Which is harsh.
But he said that in the last episode.
The last Desmond episode,
right? Because the whole thing was like
he was trying to put the pieces together.
He was trying to get him to die.
Yeah,
sort of,
I hope he doesn't die by a fucking arrow to the throat. That crazy French broad is unstable.
It better be epic.
It better be, because he's taken. He's been hung.
Like, it better be to the point where we know he's dead.
He's going to be a grease spot.
Yeah.
Poor Charlie. I like Charlie a lot.
Yeah.
We don't get to see him that much this season. And then last season he had that weird dip where he just went crazy.
Yeah.
But overall I really liked that character.
We'll see how his flashback goes. We'll be able to gauge.
Yeah. You stay strong, little white moth.
We'll see.
I'm pulling for you.
All right. What do you say we get into music?
Let's talk about music, baby.
All right. Hello everybody. It's Jimmy in Seattle here. I do hope all is going well. What a fantastic episode. Don't you think? It's been a long time since I've really said that. I'd have to say that The Man Behind the Curtain is probably the most satisfying episode that I've had. I loved every minute of it. I can tell you now, I never thought I would ever want to see a Richard Alpert flashback. Dr. Eyeliner has suddenly become incredibly interesting. I think that they're actually Hanzo Foundation. There is a theory going around on the web that they're all pirates from the Black Rock. It would explain the eyeliner. But no, I think it's Hanzo Foundation Life Extension Program. Their lives are perfect, it's going well, but they can't have children as a reaction. I don't know, they're dying out, whatever. Now, it's prediction time, actually. I think I'm also going to predict that Locke will survive. And one of the reasons, I think, is there was actually a There was an addition to his theme this week. Now listen here when Locke brings his father's body back to the camp.
Tom!
You'll hear the lead-in.
Have you seen my recorder?
And this is Locke's theme. But listen to the melody that's laid over the top. Take particular note here of the strings.
You said that if I killed my father, you'd tell me everything I wanted to know about the island. So why don't you start at the beginning?
That was a little different to the usual pattern that we see, where you just basically have Locke's theme played at just a different pace or in a different style or with different instruments. Here you actually had the melody inserted over the top. And there's something about it, I just don't know, but I get the distinct impression that it is the theme of the new Locke. Locke will resurrect, come back, and kick Ben's ass. I just have a feeling. And funnily speaking of kicking ass, here's Locke's theme when he was kicking ass. Here's Locke's theme. Via brass, out of punctuation, very cheesy.
So when do we leave?
Now, I can tell you that, very annoyingly, it's going to be a short show.
I recorded it yesterday, before we left. I thought you already took it.
Unfortunately, and I don't know how many of you, we're in the same boat, but iTunes didn't seem to put the episode out for availability until early this morning, which is kind of now, and I have to post this off to Ben and Ralph in order to get the show out tonight. So I'm going to leave you with the music that played during the scene where Ben returned back to the Dharma camp. Bodies strewn around. A man with a hose pipe. Volleyball players. Or was it badminton? Either way, I've heard this music before. I'm not sure where. Like I said, I don't have time. Tell you what. Write in with your thoughts, if you have any. That would be great. It really was a stunning episode, I think. Definitely, as I said earlier, one of my favourites, and I'm very looking forward to seeing what happened, and I'm looking forward to actually talking a little bit more, because there's quite a few things to talk about this week. So in a few days, I'm going to continue with further analysis of this episode. Until then, thanks for listening as always. We're nearly there. Can you believe it? This is Jimmy in Seattle. Take care. Whatever you're doing, be good. Namaste.
You want us to, go get his body? No, leave him out there.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Excellent as always. So that's it. What do you got going this week, dude?
Well, man, I'm giving platelets again tomorrow as usual. I've got some things stored up from Netflix. I kind of hit a block, not as bad as Children of Men, which kept you in like a feedback loop for 3 weeks or so. But I've kind of hit a stumbling block. I haven't watched any since last week, so
okay.
I'm hoping I can get that going again.
To all you mothers out there,
that's
happy
right.
Mother's Day.
Happy Mother, you mothers.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on Sunday.
How's it going?
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I'm sorry I don't call you as much as Ralph calls his mom.
Happy birthday, Ben's mom.
Birthday?
I don't know. Happy Mother's Day,
my mom doesn't listen to the
Ben's
show.
Mom. She does, though, doesn't she?
Nah. Does your mom listen to the show?
Fuck no. I don't think my mom even knows I have a show. So fucking
you're probably
that
safer
shit,
that
keep
way.
Keep that shit quiet.
If any of you see Ralph's mom, don't tell her, please.
Yeah.
What else? Do you have anything else you want to say? We're going to go see 28 Weeks Later. Pirates is coming out eventually.
I'm not interested in 28 Weeks Later, but Stevie is.
I'll go.
Maybe I'll go see Condemned while you do that.
I thought you were the one that put the brakes on Condemned.
I don't know. I want to see something, but I don't want to see 28 Days Later, but I don't want to be like sitting at home while you guys are having fun at a movie.
Yeah, you don't want to be sitting at home.
I guess I could go see the movie.
It's not going to hurt you.
I don't know.
I'm going to go see it, me and Matt Clark, because he was telling me that this movie might be as good as Ultraviolet, so
uh-huh.
That's high praise coming from him.
Awesome.
They just keep hitting that one home. No one at home has any reference.
Yeah.
If you guys are out there are listening to us still after all that, and you want to call us and tell us how great Ultraviolet is, or how awesome Matt Clark is for liking Ultraviolet, you can pick up the telephone and using your hands dial 206-338-4261.
Or you can email us at darmalars@gmail.com.
Or you can be our friends at myspace.com/darmalars.
You can also, the other thing, what's the other thing?
Blogspot.
Visit us at the darmalarspodcast.blogspot.com. Leave comments on our show.
Or you can go to scottandsteve.blogspot.com. Listen to the girls at the Lost Initiative.
Our sister podcast.
I had a dream about Amy. I have to tell her about that.
Did you mention that on last week's show?
No.
Oh.
Because I didn't have it until like last Friday.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Nothing creepy, except for the fact that merely having a dream about someone is kind of creepy. But
yes.
It was more of a sci-fi nerd dream, like most of my dreams are.
BSG. BSG's done at the end of the fourth season.
I know. I know.
All you BSGers.
And it doesn't come back until like 08, which is so far away. For Lost and BSG.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll abide.
Yep. I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's all our contact info. That's all you need to know. You've heard us talk about the show. Now you get to hear all the phone calls at the end of the show. Ralph, I would like to suggest that you go out on Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
In honor of the man behind the curtain.
Okay. All right.
A while ago, Ralph and I decided that it's okay to like Wizard of Oz.
I can't think of. I usually have like my favorite lines to movies.
But that one doesn't have any favorite lines for you.
I guess.
What about The Wiz? Is that better? Does that help?
That movie sucks. I really don't like it.
Well, let's do one in honor of Charlie. Do one from the Lord of the Rings oeuvre.
Lord of the Rings.
All right. What about Master and Commander?
I'll do one from Lost.
Do one from Lost.
I'll do a Charlie line from
Lost.
Do a
Charlie line from Lost.
Okay.
All right. So,
I just have nothing. I can't think of a single line. I could wrap him up in cellophane, which is pushing it. But I'll do a Charlie line.
We're going to get out of here. We're going to get some dinner. We're going to talk to you guys next week.
Starving.
There's only two episodes of Lost left. So fucking savor it because it is sweet. So sweet. So from us here at the Darmalars to all of you out there in the world, Lost a la vista.
Guys, where are we? I don't have.
That is the ultimate Charlie line.
It is. You all, everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
Let's throw in Combustible Edison for you guys.
Do some Combustible Edison for the friends. Right.
Probably theme from Tiki Wonder Hour. My favorite Combustible Edison song ever.
You gotta.
I gotta steal more from you, dude.
Hey guys, it's Jack from Gainesville. You're killing me right now. The man behind the curtain, you watch way too many movies not to get this. It's from The Wizard of Oz. Still love the show, but come on now.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Brian, first time caller to your show. Been listening for a while now since season 3 started. Always been a big fan of you guys, but I was watching your video podcast and I saw you guys had Fireball Island down there, and that just totally rules. My sister and I had that game when we were little kids, and my dad got rid of it, and then my sister found one again on eBay. She paid like $80 for it, but it's awesome. Whenever I get out to her place, I always beg her to play it. But anyway, I just want to let you guys know that you rock. All right, see ya.
Hey, what's up, Ralph? Ben, this is Dre calling out of L.A. once again. I just had some little thoughts on Lost and I was before this new episode come out. So I was going through some of the Lost things I had on you know, on my DVR or whatnot. Anyway, the thing is, I was thinking of, I was looking at the Catch 22, the one with Jack and Sawyer was playing ping pong, and finally Sawyer beat Jack at something. So I was thinking something like, before Jack got, you know, taken hostage and all that other stuff from the others, he always beat Sawyer. Jack always beat Sawyer. But this time, it's either Jack let him win or Sawyer was whooping his ass. Either way, the damn thing is, you know, is that because, you know, Jack is fighting with the other people, and, you know, he got the little thing talking about y'all are my people and all this other stuff. So I'm thinking maybe because Jack went or is fighting with the others, you know, maybe that has something to do with him losing. You know what I'm saying? And then, okay, so between my other little thing I was thinking about was with the whole Michael and the boy, I forgot his name. I was about to call him Micah. Anyway, so with Michael and his son or whatever being off the boat, really, ain't it only been like a couple of weeks or something like that, or a week and a half or something since that whole thing was? It took them a week to do their test, then they came back, and it's like a day or two. So, yeah, they probably didn't go any damn where. They could be on the other side of the damn island for all we know. You know what I'm saying? And what's up with, with, Sawyer giving, the real Sawyer, the Superman, what is it, here's the Lex Luthor, Shank the Superman, you know what I'm saying? He punched it up here, didn't he? God, yeah, you did choke his ass out. I ain't seen somebody, get choked out like that, but, I'm gonna go ahead and see left, say no holds barred. Anyway, that's all I got. Yeah, I'm at work. So, yeah, oh yeah, happy 1 year anniversary thing and all that. Yeah, I'm just all right, you guys, that's it. And I guess I'll leave with a quote, one of my favorite movies. Have fun storming the castle. All right, later.
What up, Dom Lars? This is Lauren from Missouri. How about Robert being fucking Uncle Rico?
Don't you ever wish you could just go back?